So let's see, what shall I talk about?
Brian, do you have any questions?
Actually, I do.
Okay.
I'm thinking of two of them, and one of them is very silly. It's probably very silly. Just based on my experience here last time, I kept hearing footsteps outside of my Kubi at night, and the first time I heard them, I thought it was me checking up on people. And after that, I started thinking it was a ghost.
Which
make noises like that, as if they were...
Yeah.
Okay, maybe it was.
But maybe it was just a dog.
It sounded like flip-flops.
Like flip-flops, right?
Could he have toasted?
What?
Could he have toasted something else?
Toasting, do you hear any footsteps?
I believe I hear a voice.
Huh? Nein, und du bist ja in der Kutte drin, hörst du manchmal Schritte?
Ja.
In der Nacht, oder?
In der Nacht.
Well, then just invite them in. And ask them what they want. That's strange, you know. I mean, or send them to me, yeah? Because I don't see them, yeah? So you heard them also, huh?
I remember hearing footsteps and having a look and there was nothing.
And banging the door?
No, but it was clearly like footsteps underneath.
Maybe it was a monk who died, you know, and he still was walking chongkrom, yeah? Why shouldn't ghosts be able to walk chankram, yeah? Do a walking meditation, yeah? But it didn't sound like walking meditation. Anyway, so that was one question. Yeah, now, I mean, if you hear the ghost, you know, I say, go and visit, you know, Achan. He has lots of meditation. I mean, the only time I really saw ghosts, you know, was in a cave. Yeah, when I was in a cave, there were too many of them. But I haven't seen any. Oh, Rüdiger, do you have any strange noises around your kutty now?
Yeah, I have.
You have?
Yeah. Like knocking on the door and...
I mean, do they all follow you from Germany or... Your old girlfriends, you know, who died already, you know, come in. Huh? Hello, Rüdiger, how are you doing? That's strange.
The nights ago there was this like knocking on the tree in a rhythm again.
Oh... Most of these, you know, I mean, I do hear that, you know, but there are tukis who just, you know, caught an animal and then they whip with their tail, you know, and it sounds like that, yeah.
As soon as I went to look, it stopped.
Yeah, of course they stopped, yeah.
I mean, I was way out, I could hear it.
No, that happens, you know, I mean, especially the tukis are in, everywhere, yeah. And if they eat, you know, I mean, it really sounds like, you know, it sounds like footstep or sounds like knocking on the door, yeah. Yeah, I sometimes hear it during the day, yeah? And then I thought one of my monks is coming, you know, and said, open up, you know, and then it's, but I'm not bothered by that. No, it's when you hear them or when you see them, you know, I mean, then they make the sound. Sometimes I do see them. And it's their tail, you know, that, I mean, somehow they need their tail, you know, to eat these animals.
So last night I had these knocks on my on the wall of the Kuti Ranch there.
Yeah.
And my hair stood up on end,
yeah.
And I went straight back to my Buddha.
Yeah.
Or should I invite them in like
yeah.
this?
Yeah. No, just go back to your Buddha. Yeah. I mean, if you can stay with your Buddha, don't even bother about these things. Yeah. If you can't stay, you know, I mean, if you're disturbed by it, you know, then just invite them. Yeah. And come on. Yeah. And ask them what they want, you know, and then most of the time they just disappear. So what was your second question?
So last summer I was reading Wisdom Leads to Samadhi.
Yeah?
And the stories just keep sticking with me, outgoing exuberance.
What?
Outgoing exuberance.
Yeah.
And as soon as I left here, I realized pretty much everything I did that trip other than stay here was
Which translation was it? Wisdom? Was it the talk from Lungta Mahapo?
Yes.
There are some mistakes in translating. Yeah. I haven't had time. I mean, I haven't had time to translate it again. But okay, outgoing, but exuberance. Yeah, I mean, that's normal people do that all the time. Yeah. The big problem is, you know, if we suddenly decide with our mind to give up on something, yeah, and we don't have anything to replace it with, yeah, that's where people, you know, they think they need to become a monk, you know, especially from the West, they come here, you know, they want to be a monk, you know, then they become a monk and two months later they disrobe, yeah. It's this, you know, giving up, you know, it's the idea of giving up, yeah? It has nothing to do. We have to have something, you know, that fills the vacuum, yeah? That fills the emptiness, you know, that is left, yeah? So, the more you practice, the less vacuum you have, yeah? And the easier it actually follows automatically that these things, these exuberance, you know, I mean, yeah, you don't find them anymore, you know, that exciting. Yeah? But to mentally to decide, yeah, I want to give up this, I want to give up that, yeah. I mean, that of course, you know, I mean, always can lead to depression, yeah. Because you don't have anything else to fill it with, yeah. I mean, if you have your practice and completely are satisfied with your practice, I mean, all the other things, you know, really don't interest you, yeah. But we like to control, and that is the biggest problem also in our practice. We like to control our life, think this is good, you know, then we do it, yeah. And then we are left with a vacuum, yeah. I mean, that makes us feel, you know, unhappy or sad or whatever, yeah. But if we do something, you know, that interests us, yeah, and the more it interests us, I mean, the more the other things fall away. So don't do it, you know, by your mind, do it by your heart, yeah? When your heart thinks, you know, I mean, this is actually nothing, you know? I mean, going to this party, going to that party, having a chit-chat with this, yeah? I mean, I'd rather sit in meditation, yeah? And then you have something, you know, that is steady, you know, and then gives you the fulfillment, and you see through that fulfillment that comes through meditation, you see, actually, you know, the outgoing activities that you do don't give you that fulfillment. You know, that actually they leave you empty afterwards. Yeah, I mean, you think, for instance, yeah, I mean, I investigated it all when I was still a layperson and still working. Yeah. So when I went out, you know, when I went out dancing or to a club or to a bar, you know, and so on, yeah, because I was lonely, you know, I was going there, and while I was there, everything was fine, and when I came back, you know, boops, the loneliness came back, you know, but much bigger than before, yeah? Because we didn't notice it. Yeah? And if you don't have anything to replace it with, yeah, then of course it is very bad, yeah. But if you have something, you know, if you do your meditation and do it more and more and more and find more comfort and more happiness in doing your meditation, then these outside things, yeah, seem to you like, I mean, why should I do that? Yeah, why am I doing this unto myself? Yeah? When this question comes, you know, and it mostly comes from the heart, then it is very easy, you know, to let it, you know, let it fall away. Yeah. Not deciding, you know, not to do it, yeah, because that always leads to the desire to do even more of it. Yeah? Just like when our father told us, you shouldn't do this, you know, I mean, that's exactly what we love to do. So, and it's the same thing, if it is our father who tells us, or our mother who tells us, or the teacher, yeah, or is it ourselves who tells us we shouldn't do these things, yeah, I mean, the heart loves to do these things, yeah, without knowing the results of it. But if we would investigate it properly, I mean, what drives you to do these things, yeah, and then ask yourself before you do it, yeah, what is my feeling now? Look at the feeling, yeah. Just be with the Buddha, with the breath, and then look at the feeling that is inherent at the moment, yeah? And then say, okay, now I'm going to do that, yeah? And try to be have as much awareness or sati or mindfulness while you're doing it, yeah? And then after you know, this party or whatever it is, or this exuberant, yeah? Then check again, how is my heart now feeling? Has it changed anything, yeah? I mean, we do go, you know, we do go for a coffee, or we do go for a talk, yeah, or we do go for a movie for a reason, yeah, because we feel bored, or we feel dissatisfied, or we feel unhappy, or, yeah, and while we do these things, you know, I mean, it's a distraction. And that's nothing, it distracts us from the dukkha. Well, that's why most of the people, you know, go into alcohol that really makes people dull, yeah? And if they're dull, they don't feel these things so much, yeah? Or some people, you know, eat a lot of food, you know, that makes them also dull. Huh? Need to eat food and food and food, you know? I mean, when the body is heavy, when the digestive heavy, you know, we are not likely, you know, huh? We're not happy to think about this or think about that, yeah? In German, we do have the saying, yeah? Ein voller Bauch studiert nicht gern. Huh? And that's exactly. You understand that phrase? You heard that before, Brian? A full stomach doesn't like to study. Yeah? Huh? So, I mean, these are all ways, yeah, Linda? Huh? These are all ways, you know, to reduce the amount of dukkha that we feel, yeah? No, I wouldn't do this consciously, yeah, or driven by the mind, yeah, I should give up. No, yeah. Let's find something, you know, that is more important to us than all these things that we do, yeah. I mean, I remember when I started meditation, and meditation became more and more important in my life. In the beginning, I mean, my planner, you know, was full until 10 o'clock in the night, yeah? I had to meet this person, I had to meet that person, I had this, yeah? There was a meeting, or there was a party, or there was a, yeah, this or that. And after 1.5 years, you know, I mean, my planner was empty. Because all these things, and I noticed, you know, through investigation, I noticed they don't bring me really satisfaction. I'm left alone, you know, afterwards I'm left alone in the same stage, or sometimes even worse. So through investigation, you get rid of it. Just try to feel, but before you do something, how is my feeling? And then say, okay, let me do it, but let me do it with some sort of mindfulness. And see, you know, experience the things, you know, really as they are, or try to experience the things as they are. And then afterwards I check it. Otherwise we will never know. And as long as you think, you know, it helps you, you know, go ahead, do it. Unless it is against the five precepts, then I wouldn't say, you know, you should do it. If somebody enjoys killing people, you know, I mean, I wouldn't suggest that. Or stealing, or whatever, or lying, you know, or having sexual misconduct. No, of course not. But whatever is within the realms of the five precepts, I mean, okay, go ahead and do it. But do it mindfully and be aware of what is happening. And especially when it is over, what are the results of your doing? Has it changed anything to the better? If it has changed something to the better, okay, keep on doing it. Or find some other things, you know, that where you believe, you know, this would give better results. No, we shouldn't do that, because that just leads to frustration. Some people, you know, approach meditation like make or break, and they will break, because it is, you know, it is this will that is driven, you know, and then of course this will comes from the kilesas, they show us, okay, I can do it, you know, and then they tell us I can do it, and then in the end, it is their way to show us you're useless. Because we break on it. I mean, if you just be interested in meditation and see the benefits of meditation, there wouldn't be any problem. The heart automatically lets go of these things, you know, that are not healthy or not fruitful or don't bring good results. If we would approach everything that we do with our heart, I mean, we didn't even need to keep the five precepts. Because the heart instantly knows that it's something wrong. I mean, it starts to beat up very fast, and then we know something is wrong. And then we let go of it. Because, I mean, a fast beating heart is not a pleasant thing. A calm heart, you know, that just beats normally, you know, it is very pleasant. And that's what we try to get, And we notice instantly, or try, you know, to be a little bit more mindful about, and this time, you know, about the physical heart, that is the closest resemblance to our citta, I mean, if the physical heart beats up, that means, you know, the citta cooks up something, So we know, So, and then we investigate, what are you cooking up, And then we look at the feeling and ask ourselves, is that pleasant? As long as we don't understand it, then just go ahead and do it, you know, and see if it is okay. If it brings good results. But most of the time it doesn't bring good results. At least, you know, through my investigation, it never brought any good results. After you do it, you ask yourself, was it really that clever, you know? I mean, do you really feel good now? And most of the time you don't. But if your heart is calm and there's an action that needs to be done, you will always have good results. Because afterwards the heart is still calm, you know, and in the most cases it is also happy. Because we did something good. We were respectful, we listened to our teacher, And then we don't have to go and pay respect to the Lord Buddha and ask for forgiveness. Then we don't have to worry, You understand that? Clear? If you don't do anything wrong, we don't have to worry. And if you do it with a calm heart, we never have to worry about the thing. Yeah? Did I do this wrong or did I do that wrong? Yeah? If you do it correctly, yeah? I mean, that's the happiness of the heart. And we can do that as lay people, you know, still living in the world. You know, there's no, there's nothing that prevents it. We just pay attention to our meditation. Yeah, we do it before we do anything. I mean, Brian, when you get up in the morning, the first thing you do is practice, yeah? Practice for 45 minutes or an hour, yeah? And then you go to work, yeah? And then at the end, when you come back from work, you practice another, yeah? 45 minutes or an hour, and let everything go that happened during that time, yeah? Everything, yeah? And then you're free, yeah? I mean, you don't need to worry about all the things, you know, that happen during the work, yeah? Worries don't help us, you know, don't solve the problem. The only thing that we can say, you know, if we see then in our daily reflection, there's always something, you know, that really upsets the heart, then in the morning we say, okay, there will be this situation where I get upset, yeah? I mean, just not correcting it, Just determine, for this moment, I really want to have absolute or maximum of sati or awareness, yeah? So that I really see what is going on. Huh? We always try to correct situations, you know, try out this, try out that, you know, and nothing really works, yeah? But we never know what actually is happening in the situation, yeah? That is very helpful, Linda, you know, also, you know, in reference to your students, yeah? People have communication problems, yeah, and they always stumble across this, you know, and they try to correct it, or no, I should approach it like this, and they plan, yeah. But that is not the meditative or practical way. Yeah? Whatever I told myself is, okay, there's a situation that is most likely coming up today. Let me try to get the most attention on that, what is actually happening, without having any ideas about it, yeah? And that is already difficult, yeah? Without having any views about this person or that person, just looking, you know, exactly what is happening. And that can make, you know, change the whole thing, yeah? Once the heart sees, you know, what it is doing, the heart will let go of all the things that are not healthy to it or that are painful, yeah? But we don't know, you know? That's why we try out this, try out that, yeah, I should be like this, yeah? But we are not like this, yeah? We are the way we are, yeah? And that's what we have to live with, yeah? And in order to understand how we are, you know, we have to be mindful. We have to have this awareness, sati, and know what is going on. And that's where actually our daily reflection kicks in. When we do that every day, in the beginning we don't see much, you know, but over the time we see more and more and more. Yeah? Yeah? And then we see also the points where we completely get lost, and then we say, you know, okay, for these points, you know, I want to have more attention. Yeah? It takes while, you know, it takes weeks or it takes months, yeah? But over the time we see clearer and clearer and clearer, yeah? But we are born and we are educated to solve problems, huh? And that is the problem, yeah? We are educated to solve, yeah, this problem I have to solve, yeah? We are not educated to observe a problem, yeah? But what is actually the situation? Yeah? If we would observe the situation clearly without any views and objections about it, yeah, I mean, we would instantly see, yeah, there is no problem. The problem is created by the mind or by our views and opinions on this person or that situation. Yeah?
We cannot change this view, even if I want.
Yes, you can change this view, but it takes some time.
Yeah. No, it takes some time. And it only, you know, you can change this view if you see that this view is causing you pain. Huh? I mean, it causes you pain. No?
Yes.
Yes. And then tell you, how do you see that this view is causing me pain? Yeah? Don't you want to let go of it? And then the heart says, no, I haven't seen it yet. Yeah, I need to keep this view. And then, okay, yeah. And then next time, you know, ask, yeah. I mean, the clearer the heart, the moment the heart really sees and really understands, I mean, it instantly lets go. That is a good, that's a great advantage of our heart, because the heart is the only thing that can let go. Yeah? Our mind can control these situations, that situation, but the heart is the only one who can let go of the desire, or who can let go of views and opinions that are wrong. Hmm? But because we believe these opinions and views are right, we have no way to tackle it. Yeah, views and opinions, of course, you know, seem to be very fixed. But when you look at your life, you know, I mean, you lived for quite a time, yeah, and then you also know views and opinions can change. So they're not really that fixed. Yeah? They can change, and they have changed over our lifetime. Yeah. So why can't we, you know, change them now? Yeah. To change them mentally, you know, I mean, it works for some time. Yeah. But if the heart is not convinced that this change is positive, I mean, it desires to do again and again and again. Yeah. And that's why we have to have this observing nature. In this observing nature, we learn through two ways of practice. First of the samatha, yeah, observing the Buddha, observing the breath. Yeah, that is one way where we learn to observe. Yeah, and that's where we also see how much we are trying to control the object that we observe. So it is natural for us to control something that we observe. Yeah. Just like, you know, most people, you know, who live in a relationship like to control the other person, yeah? Yeah? Or a teacher likes to control the students, yeah? No, you should do it like this, yeah? We can suggest things, yeah? If they do it, you know, it's fine. If they don't do it, it's also fine. Yeah? It's their life, yeah? We don't have any responsibility, yeah? Even the parents, you know, I mean, they can suggest things, you know, that are good for you. I mean, if you follow it up, you know, it's fine, yeah. Sometimes you give them some knuckles on the head, you know, and then they realize, you know, it is hurtful, yeah. And then let it go, or they continue doing it. But it is not our responsibility, yeah. Our responsibility is to change ourselves, yeah, to see things clearly. And that is the toughest thing. Just to see, you know, what is really going on. Yeah, I always ask myself, what the hell is going on? Let me see. Yeah, and that is a good attitude, because, I mean, you're completely without views, opinions. You know, what the hell is going on? Yeah, see, look at the situation. Yeah? It takes some time. Yeah, I mean, the longer we have a certain view and opinion, I mean, the longer it takes to cut it down. But don't worry, everything can be cut down. Yeah? Even if it is a big tree, you know, it takes more time than a young tree. Yeah? And if it's just growing, it is very easy, you know, just uproot it. Yeah? But if it's huge, you know, I mean, it takes some time. Yeah? All these things have grown, you know, and all these things will die or change. Yeah? So the important thing about our practice is to learn this sati, yeah, is to learn this awareness, yeah, being aware, yeah, not wanting to change the world that we like to do, yeah. When we come back, you know, we want to change, yeah, our friends, you know, we want to change, say, oh, meditation is so great, yeah. That just shows us, yeah, that we are not really convinced of it. Because if we are convinced, we don't need to convince others. But if we can convince others, you know, we feel, you know, that we are, you know, that this is the truth. Yeah? I found that out for myself and said, oh, that's strange, you know. So you're not really convinced that meditation is good. Yeah? And then I completely changed it. Yeah? Whoever is interested in it will come, you know. If he doesn't come, you know, that's his problem. But it takes time, you know. It is all, you know.
Sometimes it's painful.
It was painful for me, you know, in the beginning, you know. Sometimes, you know, I was sitting there and crying my heart out for four hours or 6 hours, yeah, because it was so painful, yeah. But all these pain goes away. The nice thing about, you know, the teaching of the Lord Buddha, anicca, everything is impermanent, yeah. Nothing stays on. But the moment we feel pain, we think it is forever.
Yeah.
Yeah, and that's not true. It changes into something else. But the longer we hold on to this feeling or view and opinion that pains us, I mean, the longer it stays on, of course. But it will not never stay on forever. It's tough. It can be very tough. Yeah, I mean, the first year of practice, I approach everything with, you know, with this trying to have the most clear awareness. Yeah, and it was painful. Yeah, because I saw, I went and constantly, yeah, what are you defending? Yeah, who are you defending? Yeah, why are you defending? Yeah, whatever people want to see in you, that's what they want to see, yeah? And you can't convince them that you are differently than they view you, yeah? Be yourself, you know, and realize, you know, realize the good and realize the bad, yeah? And then try to improve the good, you know, and let go of the bad, yeah? That's all what you can do. And whatever other people think about you now, I mean, that's their views, that's their opinions. You remember the simile that I always bring, you know, for that? You know, trees, there's a tree in the forest, you know, and five different people come, you know, and one is a sculptor or artist, you know, he sees a Madonna in the tree. Another is a carpenter who sees a beam in the tree, yeah? Another one is just cold and sees firewood in the tree, yeah? Another one just stumbles against this tree and says, you know, and he hates that tree, yeah, because it was in his way. Yeah? What has it to do with the tree? Yeah? What do you have to do with the views and opinions of other people?
Maybe some of them, they're right.
What?
It could be that they're right.
They are wise.
White. I mean, what they see...
What they see is right, yeah? I mean, if they see something in you that is right, you know, there's a reaction in our heart, yeah? That actually would tell us, you know, they are right. But most of the time they are not right.
I'm confused at the time. I don't know.
Yeah, don't worry, you know, you don't have to, yeah. But the more we listen, you know, the more we listen to other people's views and opinions, I mean, the more we have difficulty listening to our own views and opinions. Huh? I mean, other people's views and opinions of us, you know, and our own views and opinions of us, yeah, I mean, none of them are true, yeah. The Kilesas constantly want to make us like this or like that, you know, or paint a nice picture of, yeah, or I'm such a good person, or I'm such a, you know, honest person, or I'm such a calm person, yeah. That's what the Kilesas tell you. So, I mean, no matter if it is your own view or if it is the view of others, I mean, they will tell you lies. Yeah? You really don't know how you are unless you go inside and check for yourself. Huh? And it is impossible, you know, constantly to do it right for all the people around you. Yeah? You always will insult other people, but some people, and you will do it, you know, you will please other people. There's no way that we can please everybody. And some people, you know, I mean, just make their life, you know, try to please everybody. It's so difficult. Yeah? I'm saying, yeah? Don't worry about other people, you know, worry about yourself, yeah? And then you don't have to run so much to the Lord Buddha and ask for forgiveness, yeah? I I mean, that is the best way. So, I mean, we learn to observe when we observe the breath, or when we observe the Buddha while we do samatha, or we observe the object of investigation when we do investigation of the body. Yeah, just observe, you know, the hand or the skin or the hair or the nails, you know, whatever, or the teeth, yeah. Just observe them until you get a picture of it, and then, you know, cut it down and see what is the nature of it. In the nature of the teeth and in the nails, where are the teeth suddenly coming from? Yeah? Where are they growing out? They're growing out of bones. Are they bones? No, they are not bones. Yeah, why are, you know, where is it coming from? Yeah, where is the hair coming from? Yeah, I mean, we don't have hair on all the parts of our body. Yeah, we have it on some parts of the body. Yeah, so where is it growing out? Yeah, and what is the nature of hair? Yeah. And why is it, you know, that we like it, you know, as long as it is on our body? And why is it that we hate it or we find it disgusting when it comes off our body? Why don't we like to touch the hair, you know, when it falls in the in the drain? Yeah, we find it disgusting. Why? I mean, before it was on our head, you know, and we find it beautiful. Yeah? And then we put some soap, you know, and we feel, even that, you know, we feel fine, you know, we wash off the soap. And then, you know, some of the hair stuck, you know, in the drain, you know, together with the soap, and we find it disgusting. Isn't there something, you know, strange with our views and opinions? Yeah? And it's the same with the nails, you know, we cut our nails, we find our nails, yeah, I mean, women like it, you know, they find it, you know, they file it, you know, they paint it and so on, yeah. But the moment they cut it off, you know, find it disgusting, yeah. They don't want to have it on the table next to their food. Why not? Huh? When you eat the food, you know, I mean, when you eat the food with your hand, I mean, your nail stuck into the food, yeah. Huh? But when you cut it off, you find it disgusting. As long as they are on the hand, you know, on your fingers, you find it fine. So why is that? Yeah? We never question these things. Yeah? The food that you put into the mouth, I mean, it's delicious. Most of the time it's delicious, you know, it has lots of taste. But when it comes out of the body, we don't like it. We find it disgusting. Why?
Last time I cut my nail and I look on it. And it wasn't disgusting for me.
No?
Because I put them on fire. I burned them.
Yeah.
And suddenly it felt disgusting.
Uh-huh. Okay. So whatever. Yeah. I mean these things. Yeah. I mean, some people find it disgusting when they're lying on the table. Some people find it disgusting when you burn them. It's the same with the hair. You know, when you burn the hair. Yeah. Or the hair just needs to fall in your soup or in your meal. You know, and then. You don't like it. But as long as it is on your body, I mean, you don't mind, you know. You find it actually, most of the people find it beautiful or nice. Yeah? So that's what we need, you know. We need to learn to observe without any views and opinions. Yeah? I mean, objectively. And without controlling, you know, the thing that we observe. And that's what our primary course in meditation is, yeah? Learning to observe without controlling, and learning to observe without any objections, yeah? With a clear view, objectively. Yeah? And then when we can do that, I mean, we can get a pretty good view of how our self is working. Yeah? And then we can solve lots of these problems that we think that we have. But unless we don't have this objective view, I mean, we are constantly swayed, you know, by the clear, that's good, yeah, or not only good, you know, I mean, oftentimes we are swayed, yes, that is right, yeah, that's what we think the Lord Buddha said, yeah. I mean, we don't know. Yeah? We have to look. It's our interpretation of what the Lord Buddha said. Yeah? Maybe our interpretation is wrong. And we know it, you know, through our life, you know, that we lived. Sometimes our interpretation can be wrong. Yeah? It's not always right. Yeah? Most of the time it is off a little bit, yeah. Sometimes it's off very much, yeah. We understand something, you know, with our brain, but actually we don't understand it with our heart. And in our practice of meditation, we learn how to understand it with our heart. So, okay, enough for today. Yeah. Do you have any questions? Understood? Yeah?
What is the purpose of the pause before the meal in the morning?
Of the what?
The pause before the meal.
The pause?
Yeah.
Reflecting about the food.
Okay.
And this food is, what is it? I don't know in English. Wisely reflecting, I use this alms food, not for pleasure, not for fun, not for fattening, not for beautification, but only for the maintenance of this body, for keeping it healthy and helping with the holy life. Yeah. And then you can do whatever you want, you know. I mean, you can thank the people, you know, who gave this food to you, yeah. You're here in the monastery, you receive everything free, yeah. Yesterday we had who was there? Dennis. There was a lady from Malaysia who wanted to come for a retreat. And she asked her, yeah, how much does it cost? It doesn't cost anything. Yeah? Everything is free here. Yeah, I mean, your kuti, your lodging is free. You know, the meal is free. And sometimes if you don't even have white clothes, they are also free. Yeah, you don't have to pay anything. But, you know, we expect that you keep the 8 precepts and that you practice. But everything else, you know, for the sustenance of your life, you know, is free. Yeah. Okay. And we can be grateful. We can learn this gratefulness about the food that is given to us. And these lay people are happy, you know. You see there, yeah? They're happy to give us. Huh? Do you normally see that in your country?
Not too often.
Not yeah. I mean, people in America, they give their, some of the people are very generous, but when they give, they're not really that happy, yeah? Huh? But they give, you know, out of a feeling, yes, it is good, you know, and yes, we like to give, but they're missing out on the fun of giving. And that's what the Thai people, it is incorporated in their, into their identity, you know, that they're happy, you know, yeah? And when you go to big occasions, yeah, then they offer you some food, yeah. And when you take it, they even thank you for that you take their food. Yeah, I mean, think about that in America or in Europe, yeah. And people think you're crazy. You know? Well, why do you thank me? And you know, I have to thank you. But they thank you for giving them the opportunity to make some merit, yeah, huh? Canada, same.
Yeah, they usually give in order to look good.
Yeah, see, that is also.
Oh, look, I gave this to the tsunami, I gave this. Yeah, it's to look good.
But not all, yeah? But
no,
there is, in every country, no matter if it is in Europe or in Canada or in America, there are people who are really generous, yeah? I mean, they don't want to look good, you know, they just give because they want to give. But there are few, yeah. But most of the people, you know, when they see, you know, there's this market, you know, before Christmas, you know, where people, you know, bring food, you know, to distribute, they feel they have to do it also, you know, otherwise people will look down on them and so on, yeah. Or if somebody, you know, neighbor asks, oh, did you give for the tsunami, you know, or for Katrina or for what, yeah? And then you look a little bit bad if you haven't given anything, yeah? But that is that's your own feeling, yeah? Yeah, I mean, that is the first level of generosity. There's nothing wrong with this level of generosity. And for most people, you know, that's the level, yeah? But the second level of generosity, to give out of joy, yeah? And that's what most of the people here in Thailand, they give out of joy of giving, yeah? Of course, they know, you know, they know that something is coming back, you know. Yeah, that's okay as well, yeah. Yeah? Why do you look at me? Saying, yeah, you know exactly who I'm looking at. So, any other questions? Yeah.
During walking meditation, my body starts to make interesting movements on of the spine and interesting steps and things. Should I control my body more to keep the spine erect, or should I let these steps come out?
So, and who do you think that, who moves your body? I mean, because the walking is not interesting. I mean, your kilesas are just to move around a little bit, yeah? So it becomes more interesting. And then, I mean, the kilesas are clever, you know? I mean, they do these things, you know? And then they ask us, where is that coming from? Yeah? And we fall for that trick. We fall time and time after time for this trick, yeah? They create something, you know? For instance, this pain, you know, or this, oh, when I sit, you know, suddenly the body goes like this and this, yeah? And then they ask, where is it coming from, yeah? They do something, you know, and then they ask us the question. And then we start thinking about it, and because that's the purpose for them, you know, to ask us the question. We think, should we control it, should we do it? Focus on your Buddha, you know, and then these things will all disappear, yeah? Okay.
I would like to ask you a personal question, if you have time. I don't know. Yeah. After.
Yeah. You can. I mean, just ask either in the morning or after sweeping, and you can come and see me if you have personal questions. Some people don't want to raise. Yeah. And sometimes it's okay. Yeah. So, how is our youngest monk doing? Huh? It's difficult to get the hang of it, yeah? Every one of us went through it, yeah? It was difficult in the beginning, yeah? To put on the robes, you know, to see. Yeah? Everything is different, huh? Becoming a monk, everything is different. Yeah? You cannot just behave like a layperson. And we have to train it, you know, just like a baby is training it, yeah? But a baby has no other means, you know, it cannot compare it to another life, yeah? So, I mean, it just does what, you know, whatever the parents tell it to do. So, any more questions? No? Okay, then we can stop, yeah? So, Dennis, where can he stay? He can stay in your old kuti down there, you know? What?
Canadian.
Or the Canadian, yeah? Or Udus? Who?
Scott.
Oh, Scott is in Udu. Yeah, then put, you know, show him the kutis that are free, and then let him choose, you know, whatever he likes. Yeah? Maybe he likes to be closer to people, that's fine, yeah? No, Brian. No, not Scott. who is on the water tank kutis?
That's also free, actually.
That's also free, yeah. Okay, yeah. Whatever kuti you like, yeah, and if you like to be closer to people, because there's a kuti that is quite far away, yeah. Did you see any ghosts there?
Well, I think it's those further kutis, if you do have a problem, you will not be able to run for help, right? That will get you right there.
What?
I haven't saw any ghosts there.
Okay. I don't know. Why don't I see it, you know? Or maybe, you know, I realize it's just the knocking of a gecko. Yeah.
That could be where I stayed for over a year. I never.
So. Oh. You should ask them, you know? I mean, it's probably the sound of some of these animals.
I tried to find out and then he stopped.
Yeah? I mean, of course they stop sometimes, yeah? I mean, when they eat their share, then they stop, yeah? I mean, if you're too late. Sometimes it takes only for two minutes, yeah? I mean, when they try to to cut it into half, yeah? I mean, it's just, these are just like alligators. Have you ever seen an alligator, you know, food? When it breaks, you know, once it breaks into pieces that it can eat, you know, then it stops that, yeah? And it's mostly, it's you know, I saw it, you know, it's a tail, you know, really whacking, yeah? I mean, it needs some strength, you know, of course, to cut it and to tear it apart. That's where the tail is whacking against, yeah, yes. And it sounds like knocking, yeah? It really does, yeah? But it's actually just a gecko, yeah? Huh?
Our guest, a ghost can knock on the door. But you don't have
them. They don't knock on the they normally don't knock on the
door. So they make sound of footsteps.
They can make sound of footsteps, but most of them are really quiet, yeah? You see them, yeah? And how they come, normally they come out, they come into our mind because they want something, yeah? I mean, we are not in Britain, yeah? Where the owners of the castles, yeah, who were hanged or murdered or, you know, cheated out of their castle, you know, by someone. It's mostly a sound from some of the animals. Yeah. But, you know, footsteps, yeah, it could be. Yeah. I saw ghosts, but I never heard footsteps.
They don't have bodies, so I mean, how they.
Well, they don't have these bodies, but they, you know, I mean, if they have some, yeah, I mean, if they have some power, you know, they can have some power, you know, and move things, yeah. And if they can move things, yeah, just like in the English castles, I mean, they move, you know, a heavy ball, iron ball across the floor, you know, and that can make that sound, yeah? But most of them can't, actually. Yeah? And they're in the worst situation that we are. Wow.
There is also two dogs in the night.
What?
Two dogs that go free.
Yeah, I mean, it's mostly the dogs, you know, that come. But then they howl. If they do it like this, then they hear some of the dogs of the village.
No, there is two dogs that free here, so maybe it's also.
Yeah.
Yesterday there was around our putis, and then
the dogs came. Chase them away and us throw some stones at them, yeah, so that they go. Yeah. We haven't finished the wall yet, you know, so that's why they can move around freely. Yeah, last.
And what about the slamming doors?
That is.
Is it just that I hear a sound and then my interpretation of it comes up, or the story around this sound? Or?
Yes, sometimes it can be like this. Yeah. And to which door is slamming? Slamming the kuti or the bathroom door?
Kuti door.
Kuti door.
Yes.
You must have some good friends, you know, who follow you wherever you go.
I'm showing to him like all the kutis which were free, and I said, this is the kuti where it's least likely.
Not this year, last year. About the door slams. This year's just knocking, running around, nothing, no slamming so far.
No, I mean, that kuti where the double kuti, and I mean, yes, it has some bad energy. But I mean, I live in it for how long? More than a year, yeah?
It's been no slamming.
What?
It's been no slamming.
When he lived there. Definitely. I mean, he's living there now. It can be a wind, yeah? It can be wind, yeah? Der Wind, das himmlische Kind. Yeah? Sometimes it can be our imagination, yeah? Especially when we're in meditation, falling asleep, and then suddenly this knock, yeah?
The more you worry about it, the more it appears. The less you worry about it, then just disappears. Some of us have never any problems with these things, yeah, because we don't worry about it, yeah. If something like that comes, then okay, let it come, yeah. But just ask them what they want, you know, if you feel a presence, yeah. I mean, you have to feel a presence of them, yeah. If you just hear slamming, you know, a footstep, and you don't feel a presence, you know, it's most likely not a ghost. Yeah? I mean, ghosts have presence, they have an energy, because they are beings, yeah?
Yes.
Yeah. I mean, you can feel the presence of a human being close by, even if you don't see it,
yes.
Yeah? And the ghost also has a presence, you know, it has an energy, yeah, that you can feel it. Yeah? So if there's no energy that you can feel, yeah, I mean, it's most likely, and you know, the wind or, you know, or one of these small animals who make some noises. Yeah? Okay? Yeah. I wouldn't worry about it. I think the only kuti there where they saw some ghosts is there. Yeah. They actually saw this woman from China, but she was always followed by ghosts. Everywhere she went, you know, I mean, the ghosts were just following her. You know, there are some people, you know, where the ghosts are just following them, yeah, because I mean, she could see them, yeah.
She was the only one who saw something in the.
Yeah, I mean, there was somebody who felt something, but she was seeing. And if you have a matter for all beings, you know, I mean, there's no problem. Yeah?
If.
First have matter for yourself, and then have matter for others. Yeah? It's important, and people always forget it, you know. John knows it, you know, I mean, people want to spread matter, 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 but they don't have matter for themselves, you know, how can they spread something that they don't have, yeah? Yeah? Huh? It's one of the common mistakes in the West. Bye, bye.